Today is Saturday, January 14th. The latest data shows job growth in the U.S. is still pretty strong, with more jobs available than there are people to fill them. But there are signs changes could be on the way, like more hiring freezes, layoffs, and possibly a long-anticipated recession. And in some industries, layoffs have already begun. So how can both employees and employers prepare for the rest of 2023? Our guest today is Lauren McGoodwin. She's the CEO of Career Contessa, a career resource that helps women build successful and fulfilling careers. She's also the author of the best-selling career book, Power Moves, and the host of the Career Contessa podcast. Today, she'll share what job seekers can do to be as competitive as possible, even those that are not technically looking for a new job right now, how to respond to workplace trends in the new year, including so-called quiet hiring, and much more. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, where we provide all the day's news in 10 minutes. I'm Erica Mandy. It's now time for today's Special Edition Saturday. Lauren, thank you so much for coming back on the Newsworthy.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
First, I'd love to get your take on the job market as it is today and what that actually looks like or means for the average employee right now.
Despite what we hear about layoffs and hiring freezes, you know, and the Fed interest rates going up and a potential recession, there are still jobs out there. But here's the catch. When there are a lot of layoffs, like there have been, especially with like the tech sector and things like that, it means that it's a very competitive job market, right? You all of a sudden have this like flush pool of highly skilled workers. And so I would say, yes, there's jobs, but it's competitive.
And so what's your advice for the average worker right now who is thinking about changing jobs?
I think it's not a bad time, but you need to be extremely savvy and strategic about it. You're going to want to take into account really polishing that resume, getting that LinkedIn profile optimized, being really thoughtful about where do you want to apply and what do you want to do and why is that, having really thoughtful answers to that. And probably the best thing that you could be doing right now is networking. So when we have competitive job markets like this, networking. That's very, very important. And when you're networking, a lot of times people will ask you, do you have a resume I can share with someone? Or if they're making an introduction, they might, you know, link to your LinkedIn profile. So you want to have those things in a really good place. One of the things I like to tell people during times like this too, when you are thinking about you want to find a new job, but there's a little uncertainty in the job market is, one, go for the glue companies, not the glitter companies. So the glitter company that is maybe the startup that has no idea how they're actually going to fund your job next year, I would be careful about those companies, right? The other thing I always tell people is to always be job searching. One of the things that happens is when people get laid off, there can be this panic of all these things you need to do. And so a good thing to be thinking about is how can you kind of quote unquote always be job searching, always be thinking about opportunities, networking, staying in touch with people, that kind of thing.
Do you think the high rates of quitting and changing jobs that we did see in the recent past will continue in 2023?
I don't think as much. I think people are probably a little more settled. I think the people that are going to be looking for the jobs in 2023, and this is not based on any data, just kind of anecdotal evidence, is like the people who maybe switched jobs and it's maybe not turning out to be 100% what they thought it was going to be, people who have life-changing events, aka we're moving to a different place, or I got laid off during COVID, I took a break, now I'm going back in, that kind of thing. And then, of course, the people who are at companies that have had big layoffs. So I don't think it's going to be quite as much because I think that it's harder out there. And so people who are in what I like to call the good enough job, they're happy enough with their jobs. They have most of the things they want from a workplace. I think they are going to probably focus more on their roles within the organizations. And that's actually really good too, because companies who aren't maybe doing layoffs, they might be doing a hiring freeze. Those companies are going to be very focused on retention of their current workers, skill building of their current workers, that kind of thing.
Well, and that, you know, staying at your same job brings me to a popular phrase that's been used lately, which is quiet quitting. So for anyone who doesn't know, it kind of refers to a worker who does the bare minimum at their job. So first, is this a new concept, or are people just more willing to tell people that they're doing this and maybe talk about it on social media? And then second, you know, what are the pros and cons of quiet quitting? Because if layoffs are coming, are they the ones that are going to be laid off first?
To answer your first question, it's not new, but the term quiet quitting is new. It's almost like it's been rebranded.
So you don't necessarily think this, like the younger generation is doing it more?
I don't think so. I think there are tons of times in your career, whether it's over a month or over a year, where you have times where you're very heads down, focusing on execution. And then you have other times where maybe you're looking up a little bit more and you're kind of saying, you know what, that thing can wait, or I'm going to set boundaries, or like work-life boundaries. I think with the introduction of remote work for a lot of people or hybrid work, those boundaries got so blurred that people had to really start implementing some of that stuff on their own too. So I don't think it's that it's completely new concept. I definitely think it's kind of been taken off. And I think for years, it's not just Gen Z. I think for years, people have kind of said younger generations are entitled. You know, I'm of the millennial generation. I feel like we were the first people to get kind of bashed over the head about the fact that we were entitled and we didn't want to work. And part of it was like, when you have a generation come into the workplace that has different expectations and kind of shakes things up a little bit, that's tough. That's hard, you know, and Gen Z is going to enter the workplace and have different expectations. They aren't going to maybe want to work past 5 p.m. when they're not getting paid to work past 5 p.m., which seems totally normal and acceptable, except that we've had, you know, a decade plus of times where it's been like sold to us that you need to be working nonstop. And this hustle is sort of this like attractive thing. And, you know, who are you if your whole identity isn't your career, et cetera. So I think it's just a little bit of a pendulum shift. I think when quiet quitting gets extreme, to answer your second question about, you know, are people likely to fire quiet quitters or what happens with them? Yeah, if you're extremely an extreme low performer at work and like low motivation, low engagement, I don't think we even need to call you a quiet quitter. You're just low on the totem pole of what a company needs. Then yes, you are probably going to be the first person on the list of letting go.
How do you tell people to try to find the balance, right? Because you were saying on one hand, it's like reasonable that you shouldn't have to be working 24/7. On the other hand, you don't want to be a low performer. What do you say to somebody who feels like, well, I don't know quite where the middle ground is?
That is something that I think when people are thinking about, well, how can I find a balance? It's like, well, you're not going to find a balance if you're trying to do everything, everywhere, all the time, right? That's definitely a recipe for burnout. But can you find a focus? So can you work with your manager? And this is something everyone can do. It's like, go have a one-on-one with your manager and say, what are the top three most critical issues or focus areas for us as a team just for this quarter? They're probably going to share something with you, and then work with them to figure out how you can be a contributor to those things.
Still ahead, Lauren McGoodwin explains other workplace trends she expects in 2023 and the best way for employees to respond to them, plus how to make sure a hybrid or remote work setup is successful for both you and your boss, what to keep in mind before becoming a freelancer, and more. But first, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors. The Newsworthy is brought to you by Rothy's. I personally love that the new year is a time to reflect and reset. Not to put pressure on myself, but just to take stock of what makes me feel good and what small things I might want to upgrade or change. And this year, cleaning out my closet and getting a bit more organized is one of my big to-dos. And part of cleaning out my closet means donating a bunch of old and refreshing my 2023 wardrobe. But I always notice that my Rothy's shoes go in the keep pile, because they have a timeless style, they're super comfortable, and they're high quality and durable, so they still look great even after it's been years. Plus, I may be getting a new pair since Rothy's always has new options. Flats, loafers, sneakers, and more in dozens of colors and prints, and yes, they are even launching more soon. You might also know by now that I love Rothy's shoes because they are sustainably made with their signature thread spun from recycled single-use plastic bottles. For stylish and comfortable shoes, shop Rothy's. Get $20 off your first purchase at rothys.com/newsworthy. That's R-O-T-H-Y-S, rothys.com/newsworthy. And thanks to our other sponsor, Rocket Money. If your New Year's goals are to manage your budget better and save money, you'll want to check out Rocket Money. Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Over 80% of people have subscriptions they forgot about, like a streaming service you bought to watch just one show, or a free trial that you never even used. Well, Rocket Money will quickly and easily identify your subscriptions for you so you can stop paying for the ones you don't want or don't use. The same day I signed up, I found two subscriptions I had forgotten about and was able to immediately cancel them, saving me money I didn't even know I was wasting each month. Over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, saving the average person up to $720 a year. So stop throwing your money away. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/newsworthy. That's rocketmoney.com/newsworthy. rocketmoney.com/newsworthy. Okay, now back to our conversation. On the flip side, you know, we've seen the term quiet firing, where the employer is the one taking steps to try to make you unhappy so that you'll quit instead of fire you. And then the newest term, which is quiet hiring, I hadn't heard this one. This one is a little bit different. So can you explain what is quiet hiring?
Yeah, so quiet hiring is essentially, instead of giving someone an actual promotion or pay raise and making it all official, you're essentially giving them another role at the company. You're quote unquote hiring them for another role at the company and kind of just making it part of their day-to-day job responsibilities. And that is tough because when there are layoffs, right, this kind of naturally happens. So let's say two people were doing a job. One person is laid off. Now, is that other person going to do 100% their job and the other person's job? Are they going to do like one and a half? And I want to believe that they don't always happen with like the employer saying, yeah, let's get two for the price of one kind of thing. But I do think that it can happen in the chaos of all that reorganizational restructuring that happens. And to your point, it's a new term and people are aware of it and they're starting to speak up about it. So I think that's actually a really good thing that this term is coming out now.
I've also heard that while you might be moved around within your company, it can also mean hiring short-term contractors to fulfill a job instead of hiring a full-time employee. Is that also kind of part of this trend? And I think I've seen data that shows more contractors are being used, more freelancers are being used.
Yeah, absolutely. And when companies are thinking about the financial health of their organizations, you know, those are smart moves. Do you want to lay off five people or do you want to hire three and allow those three people to maybe work with freelancers when they need the extra help, come and go, come and go? It sounds to me like it would be a lot better to hire the three that you know you can afford long term and let them work with the, you know, freelancers that can help them on very specific projects.
What if you are someone who wants to take advantage of maybe more contractors being hired and you want to become a freelancer? What should you keep in mind before taking this step?
The thing with contractors and freelancers often is making sure that the scope of the work is what the person says it's going to be, right? So they might make a proposal of like, I'll do this thing for you. And then it turns out they're doing a whole lot more. So I think for all freelancers, the challenge always is like, okay, this is a straight exchange for your time. And in order to do that, you need to price yourself correctly. And you need to be very aware of how much time is it actually going to take you to do this task so that they aren't taking advantage of you. I think a really good thing for freelancers to do or people who are thinking about jumping into the freelance pool is talk to other freelancers first. Join, you know, a community that's meant for freelancers or helps support freelancers. One of the things about being a freelancer is that oftentimes people will do it because they're really good at, you know, let's say you're a copywriter, you're really good at copywriting. But when you become a freelancer, you also have to be good at kind of running your own business. So that's why I say connect with a community who can share with you, here are the tools we use to help streamline our approach, to get our invoices paid, to help us with the taxes so that you don't become a freelancer and then drown in all the kind of the quote unquote admin tasks as well.
Are there any other workplace trends that you've noticed are happening already or that you expect in the new year?
Reskilling, people learning new skills, organizations supporting them in learning those new skills. The other thing I hope that we see more in 2023 is employers taking a look at their benefits, such as subsidizing childcare costs. Also, figuring out the hybrid remote work thing is, I think, a constant work in progress. You know, I think more employers are really pushing to get people back in the office more days a week. People are definitely pushing back on that. So we'll see what that's like.
I've heard a lot about that. People are almost switching jobs because they don't want to go back into the office. Are you hearing the same thing?
Yeah, they really do not want to go back. I think both parties need to come to the table open and willing to learn and change and compromise a little bit. Okay, you want your flexibility and we want you guys back in the office. So we're on total opposite ends. How can we find a way to meet in the middle so that we get what we're looking for and you guys are also able to keep the parts that are important to you? maybe you're okay with being in the office 2 days a week, as long as you have flexibility around the times or the days that you go in, you know, that kind of thing. That might be a happy medium.
And what's your top advice for remote work or hybrid work?
I think that teams need to have sort of their own, maybe kind of like their own written rules. Like, what are your guys' communication preferences? When are you going to be online? I think a lot of this stuff, especially when you can't see each other and you can't just turn around and talk to each other, it comes down to really good communication and creating that structure.
Final takeaway for working in 2023.
It's going to be another year of people being a little burnt out by work. There's a fantastic book called Essentialism, where he talks a lot about, you know, the pursuit of less. And so I think that's going to be another just very important thing, skill for people to learn. I feel like people at the end of 2022 were and are still just so burnt out. A week for vacation, you know, Christmas time and spring break and whatever is not enough. So you've got to find a way to kind of build in more of that less burnout feeling throughout the year.
Well, thank you so much to Lauren McGoodwin for sharing her insights and advice with us today. You can order her book, Power Moves, listen to the Career Contessa podcast, follow on social media and more, all at careercontessa.com. If you enjoyed this episode, we would love for you to share it with a friend or on social media. And of course, join us here at The Newsworthy once again on Monday to check out our 10-minute news roundups. We have regular weekday episodes released every Monday through Friday to keep you informed in our signature fast, fair, fun style. So we'll be back on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend.